Hello, world. It's me again. No, not Margaret. This is Timothy Hill sitting in for Dr. Greg Patton for one more day. One more day. This is it. He's coming back, but it'll be tomorrow. Welcome aboard. The Lord is a God of action. Even when he rested after 6 days of creation, it wasn't because he was tired and needed to recuperate. His activity in creation may have stopped, but he never ceased working. And throughout history, he has always been intimately involved in individual lives without ever relaxing control over the universe. Sometimes, however, it may seem he's unconcerned about us because our prayers aren't answered as quickly as we expect. And when that happens, we need to remember it doesn't mean God has stopped working. He is still actively involved in our lives, but often in ways that we are not aware of or that are always visible. He orchestrates circumstances, changes people's hearts, and protects his children from making foolish decisions that could have disastrous consequences. And waiting times are opportunities for growth in character, in obedience, faith, and service. By intentionally choosing to trust and depend on God rather than doubt him, you are cooperating with his process of spiritual growth. He alone knows what you need and when you need it. Be encouraged, knowing that God has planned good things for those who wait, even if you don't specifically get what you requested, your Father's answer will be for your eternal good and his glory. Well, you know what they say. You've got to tax it before you can spend it. Senator Warren, progressives propose ultra-millionaire tax. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat from Massachusetts, an all-around bananas lady, joined Representative Pramila Jayapal, Democrat from Washington. It is a Democrat all-across-the-country proposal, you know, each end of the country. They propose a wealth tax on households with a net worth of more than $50 million. The lawmakers said Monday the new and exciting tax, dubbed the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act, would create a fairer economy with a 2% annual tax on households and trusts valued at between $50 million and $1 billion. All net worth over $1 billion would be taxed at 3%. The measure, like other wealth taxes Warren has proposed in the past, is unlikely to garner the support needed to pass, kind of like her presidential campaign, particularly in the evenly divided Senate, but could serve as a marker for progressives in Congress and a reminder of the progressives on the party's left flank. The group claims the proposal would generate at least $3 trillion in revenue over 10 years, citing a February 24th analysis from economists. And, of course, they're coming from the University of California, Berkeley. The ultra-rich and powerful have rigged the rules in their favor so much that the top 0.1% pay a lower effective tax rate than the bottom 99%, and billionaire wealth is 40% higher than before this COVID crisis began. A wealth tax is popular among voters on both sides for good reason, because they understand the system is rigged to benefit the wealthy and large corporations. That's a direct quote from, or it's a statement from Senator Warren. Addressing the inequities in the tax code is something that President Biden talked about as part of the Build Back Better agenda. Sounds like Make America Great Again, but not really. And something he remains committed to doing. That's what Jen Psaki, who is the press secretary and communications lady for President Biden, had to say. He has a lot of respect for Senator Warren and is aligned in the goal of making sure that the ultra-wealthy and big corporations finally pay their fair share. So can that get through the Senate? And the answer is probably not. Probably not. But, hey, Senator Warren with a couple of percentage points on the wealth tax, I'm sure that won't affect those individuals' decisions on whether or not to invest more in their companies, hire more people, expand, grow. Something else that'll keep businesses from growing and employing people. Democrats may consider minimum wage compromise as opportunity narrows. Is any increase better than no increase on the minimum wage? That may be the question some Senate Democrats are asking themselves as they try to pass a $15 an hour minimum wage hike inside of the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package that seems to be almost insurmountable in this moment. Democrats have made it clear that they want to increase the federal minimum wage to that number, but last week were dealt an almost fatal blow. We reported that here on Hello World, as you will recall, maybe, possibly. In fact, the Senate parliamentarian didn't just say it shouldn't be included in the measure. The parliamentarian actually said it couldn't, according to the Senate rules, could not be included in the measure. It's deeper than, well, that person in that office off the side of the floor of the Senate said, well, you really shouldn't do this. No, the parliamentarian ruled and said, you can't do that. That can't be in here. There also seems to be no serious hope that the Senate will eliminate the filibuster. We're going to be talking about that in a few moments. So the question is can they being the Democrats, pass it? And remember, there was a few days ago, there was a Republican compromise. Hey, instead of 15, let's do 10. And what I'm saying is, instead of doing 10, stand on some principles, for crying out loud. If it is a bad idea statistically to raise it to 15, it's a bad idea to raise it to 10. And you say, well, you don't care about people. You don't care about their wage. $7.25 an hour is a starting wage at best. I'm not suggesting, I don't think anyone would suggest that most individuals or any individual can live on that. But it's a starting wage. What you will see is employers, even at a $10 minimum wage increase, they will drop off employees. I don't know if you have seen, and I hate to reference Facebook, but I don't know if you've seen the photos of the McDonald's kiosks that they want to put in place, and maybe they already are. The reason is because they're trying to find consistent, inexpensive ways to take orders. That simple. It is that simple. It's probably not much deeper than that. Consistent, inexpensive ways to take orders. So the market itself will correct, and the people that get hurt are the people that need those jobs. Well, how is he doing so far? According to a Harvard-Harris poll, Biden approval is at 61%. President Joe Biden has the approval of 61% of voters. Granted, they're all in some city in California somewhere. What? Hang on. He has the approval of 61% of voters at the start of his tenure in the White House, according to a poll released on Monday. In the Harvard Caps Harris poll released to The Hill, the Biden approval numbers compare with 48% approval given former President Donald Trump. Well, it's easy to have 61% approval rating when you don't do any direct press conferences. Okay, I'll let it go. Let me finish this. You can have your own conclusion. That's what we do. That's what I do on Hello World. Dr. Greg Patton won't let me go on forever. The Biden approval numbers includes 31% of GOP voters. And here's the breakdown of the poll. 39% of voters said they disapprove of the job Biden is doing in the White House. 40% of voters said the economy is on the right track. 45% said the economy is on the wrong track. So you got 40 versus 45. The 15% are just kind of like, you know, that it's not on the right track or the wrong track. They literally responded, eh. They had no real response. 47% believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 43% say it's headed on the right track. 55% of respondents said they approve of the Democratic Party, and 44% said they approve of the GOP. Unlike Trump, President Biden is having a honeymoon along with the Democrats. That's what Mark Penn, director of the poll, said. The country is turning to them and giving them the opportunity to get the country vaccinated and the economy moving. It's not the biggest of honeymoons, but it's still a real opportunity for the party and presidency to grow. The Harvard poll polled 2006 registered voters and was conducted from February 23rd to 25th and did not report a margin of error. Do you believe it? Do you believe that President Biden's approval is 61%? I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'd want to go back and look directly at Barack Obama's numbers in similar time, similar fashion. I mean, it talk about honeymoon period. Senator Tom Cotton slams coronavirus bill as political payoff, not in Washington, D.C. Senator Tom Cotton has harshly criticized President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill, telling Fox and Friends that less than a dime for every dollar goes to help those harmed by the pandemic and instead is meant as a payoff to Democrats' constituents. But wait, President Biden has a 61% approval rating. Everyone loves him. Everyone loves him. Sorry, that was the last story. Many Americans are set to receive a one-time $1,400 check, which I may or may not be buying ammo with. But federal employees are set to get $1,400 every week as long as their children's schools stay closed. That in and of itself is a perverse incentive to keep schools closed. At least that's how I see it. The Arkansas Republican, who is, by the way, a name that is consistently listed and named as someone who's running for president, my guess is he's probably positioning himself to get in line for the vice presidential slot because you know who is going to run. But Senator Cotton said, if you're working in the middle of the country, it's hard to make a living. You get one $1,400 payment once. If you're a federal bureaucrat in Washington where your schools are still closed, you get it every single week. Talk about the swamp looking after itself. He also said the $130 billion for schools included in the bill is a waste of priorities, as only a nickel of each dollar of that money is going to be spent this year. Most of it is for future years to pay off teachers' unions. Hello. Cotton also condemned what he said were unnecessary payoffs to Democrat-dominated states, saying less than a dime of every dollar goes to coronavirus. Just take a look at the payoff to some of their constituencies. $350 billion for states that are poorly run and that have long-standing problems but didn't even lose money because of the coronavirus. Biden thinks there's no time to waste because Democrats can see cases have plummeted since early January and vaccination rates are surging. So I think they're worried they won't have the coronavirus as an excuse to pay off all their clients and patrons in a $1.9 trillion blowout bill. So Senator Cotton believes it is, he's not implying, he's actually saying, wait a second, this corona relief, coronavirus relief, is not about the coronavirus at all. And they're in a rush because they have to use it as an excuse to spend how they want to spend. And anyone that has listened to my guest hosting on Hello World, you know that I want to see, and I think the American people in general want to see, if you have an idea, run it on its own. And that's not what this $1.9 trillion spending package is. It is throw the goodies on the Christmas tree, light it up, spend as much as you can possibly spend, because, hey, we may not get to do it for another couple of months. In many churches, Christians tend to get so caught up in a success and size race that the primary calling of following Jesus gets lost in the journey. We have skidded into a pattern where the haves, the most influential or financially successful individuals in life, and not the have-nots call the shots. Truth be told, it's difficult to follow when you're used to being out front leading the pack. In the body of Christ, there is one and only one head. Christ Jesus is Lord. Colossians 1:15 through 16, verse 18 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. No human being dare take that position. It may be a board member, a pastor, a teacher, a musician, or a former officer or former pastor in the church. No matter who, the mentality has no place in the church. Anyone who wants to be first is mistaken. That place is already taken in the body of Christ and in the home and in the marriage and anywhere else where Christ is named. Only Christ is the head. All the rest of us are in the class Jesus modeled, followers. I urge you to bow before the Lord and ask him to examine the attitude of your heart today, especially if you're in a place of leadership within your local church or ministry. Be willing to admit your secret ambition to be first, and then humbly surrender to the authority of Christ. Let's get offensive. Kid, you'll move mountains. Today, I shall behave as if this is the day I will be remembered. You're off to great places today. Is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Why fit in when you were born to stand out? When he worked, he really worked, but when he played, he really played. Think and wonder, wonder and think. I know you're saying, what is happening right now? Biden erases Dr. Seuss from Read Across America proclamation as progressives seek to cancel beloved author. President Biden appears to have erased Dr. Seuss from Read Across America Day, the annual celebration of reading in honor of the legendary children's author whose birthday happens to fall today, March 2nd. While Biden followed presidential tradition in proclaiming Tuesday as Read Across America Day, he bucked his predecessors by leaving out any mention of Dr. Seuss from the proclamation. The White House didn't immediately return a request for comment on why Dr. Seuss was left out of the proclamation, but the snub comes as progressives have sought to cancel the beloved children's author. One of Virginia's biggest school districts, Loudoun County Public Schools, reportedly nixed Dr. Seuss from the school's Read Across America Day celebration, citing alleged racial undertones in his children's books. That's right. I said it. Former President Barack Obama and former President Donald Trump both highlighted Dr. Seuss's contribution in their annual proclamations. The works of Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known to us as Dr. Seuss, have sparked a love for reading in generations of students. His whimsical wordplay and curious characters inspire children to dream big and remind readers of all ages that a person's a person, no matter how small. That's what Barack Obama said in 2015. Melania Trump, in their proclamation in 2017, said Dr. Seuss has brought so much joy and laughter and enchantment into children's lives all around the globe for generations. There you go. Let's get super controversial here on Hello World. I think Dr. Greg Patton would appreciate this. From there to here and here to there, funny things are everywhere, Dr. Seuss. It is better to know how to learn than to know, Dr. Seuss. Step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Sounds pretty racial to me. Always remember you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, smarter than you think, and twice as beautiful as you've ever imagined. Dr. Seuss. And then a personal favorite of mine, everything stinks until it's finished. Kind of like what the left is doing to Dr. Seuss, one of the most beloved children's authors in history. I said history, certainly modern era. I don't know how to respond to say, except to say bananas. Complete and utter bananas. So happy March 2nd. You've been listening to Hello World. I've been your guest host, Timothy Hill, sitting in for the one and the only Dr. Greg Patton. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. It's been great to be with you these last few days. I hope you go out, have a great day.